If I were the devil, that's the title of the message today. If I were the devil, I'm not the devil, thank God, but if I was the devil, you know what I'd do? I'll tell you what I would do. If I was the devil, I'd keep your minds jammed with things to do where you couldn't have any peace. You couldn't have any victory. If I was the devil, I'd have you overloaded with cares, worries, things you couldn't control, things that people that you couldn't control. If I were the devil, I would tell you there was no such thing as hell. If I were the devil, I would tell you that God really doesn't love you. If I were the devil, I'd tell you that God doesn't have a plan for you and that you don't have any purpose here on life. If I were the devil, I would deceive and mislead, and I would try to get you as discouraged as I could. If I were the devil, I'd try to render you inoperative, ineffective to serving the Lord. If I were the devil, I would keep you critical toward other people. I'd have you the place where you felt like you were the only one doing right with God. If I were the devil, I'd have you nitpicking and fault-finding one another. I'd cause your mind to think of the negative things. If I were the devil, I wouldn't want you to praise God. I would keep you from being thankful and having a bad attitude. That's exactly what I would go after. If I were the devil, I would cause you not to want to pray. I wouldn't care if you talk about praying. I wouldn't care if you talk about the Word of God. Just don't get in the Word. Just don't really care about people. If I were the devil, I would come to kill, steal, and destroy. I'd try to divide your family. I would do everything in my power to get children against the parents and parents against their children. If I were the devil, I would cause husbands and wives to bicker and fight and fuss and instead of fighting the real enemy. If I were the devil, I would work overtime and above. Oh, listen, the enemy is surely real. If I were the devil, and the fact is the enemy might have a hold of some of us today, but we don't have to shy away from the enemy. As a matter of fact, Paul put it this way in that epistle to the Colossian believers. He said Jesus had stripped and spoiled principalities and powers and made a public open display of them, triumphing over them in it. Peter said this in Peter chapter, 1 Peter 1 and chapter 5. He said, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom we stand steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are accomplished in your brethren in the world. If I were the devil, I'd make you think there's no such thing as the devil. I'd make you think there's no such thing as demon spirits. Oh no, if I were the devil. You know what John said? John said this in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, that this is the purpose the Son of God was made manifest, they might destroy the works of the devil. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, behold, I saw Satan fall like lightning. And behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Luke chapter 10 and verse 18 following. You know what John wrote? Exiled on the Isle of Patmos. In the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and verse 11, he said they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. If I were the devil, I'd want you to shut me out right now. If I were the devil, I'd cause you to be thinking about something you need to do today. If I were the devil, I'd have you preoccupied about something's on your mind where you won't get the message today. If I were the devil, I would just have you to play church, and I'd just have you to really not get serious. If I were the devil, I'd tell you don't really need to confess your sins. If I were the devil, I would say that God is some abstract being. You can't really know him in a personal way. If I were the devil, I wouldn't want you to come to the altar and really repent of sin. If I were the devil, oh, listen, brother, listen, sister. Hey, the enemy is real. And that's what I want to share with you today. If I was the devil, tell me, has the enemy been working on you? I know he has, but you can resist him. James says in James chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7, submit to God. Notice that's first. And then resist the devil. He will flee from you. Don't try to resist him first. Rather submit to him first and then resist him. Have you been trying to resist the devil, but he's not going anywhere? Can I suggest first submit to God, then resist the devil. He's got to go. And speaking of and sometimes not knowing the remedy of how to overcome the devil, how many have been battling a cough lately or some kind of sickness lately? I heard about a man that went to the pharmacist. He had a terrible chronic cough. He couldn't get rid of it for anything. Finally, he went to the pharmacist, and it was a young lady who just started. She was very inexperienced, and so the man was coughing his head off, basically, and he said, "Ma'am, I need something for relief. I can't get rid of this cough." And she said, "Well, I think I got the exact remedy you need." He said, "What is it?" She said, "Here." She took a bottle and handed it to him, said, "Take this right now. It'll get rid of your cough." And he stepped over to the side. About that time, the real major pharmacist, the man that had a lot of experience, showed up. And he walked in and saw the man standing over by the wall, white as a sheet. He said to the lady, he said, that just started, he said, "Who is that over there?" She said, "That's a man that just came in." He said, "Well, what did he want?" He said, she said that he's got a terrible whooping cough and can't get rid of it. He said, "Well, did you?" The pharmacist said to this assistant pharmacist, said, "Did you give him something?" She said, "I did." He said, "Well, what'd you give him for the cough?" She said, "I gave him a remedy." He said, "What'd you give him?" She said, "A laxative." He said, "What? Don't you know a laxative will not help a cough?" She said, "Look at him right over there. He's afraid to cough. It works, all right?" Anyway, we don't have to be afraid of the devil. Amen. I want to invite you, as we think today for a moment, about two ways we can break free from the enemy. Two ways, break free from the enemy. And if some of us are not are really honest with God, if I were the devil, I wouldn't want you to break free from the enemy. If I was the devil, I'd get a toehold, a foothold, a stronghold in your life. If I was the devil, listen to me, I'd use people in your life to keep you agitated, irritated, frustrated, so that you couldn't be effective for the glory of God. Two ways that God wants us to break free from the attacks of the enemy. And I'm convinced there's a lot of us today, if we're honest with God, have been under the attacks of the enemy. Amen and amen and amen. And you can break free today in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, and by the word of God. I know the devil's bombarding your mind, young people, with all kinds of thoughts, maybe even suicidal, maybe lustful, maybe greed, maybe jealousy, maybe some kind of selfish. If I were the devil, I'd just make you be consumed about yourself. Won't worry about anybody else. But there are two ways that we're going to look at today as we learn something new. I believe I've never preached on this subject before, never preached on the text before, but I believe the Lord is going to show some of things today. If you're teachable, I want to be teachable. How many want to be teachable? I hadn't learned it all yet. Praise the Lord. I want to be teachable. But wait a minute. Two ways. Number two, not only to break free from the works and the attacks of the enemy, but wait a minute. How about this? How about some of us? Come on, be honest. Do you need to get back to your first love today? Tell me, do you really love Jesus? Do you really? Are you consumed and you have a passion for him? To know him and to know the power of his resurrection. If I were the devil, I'd get you ice cold. If I were the devil, I'd say, you don't have to really love the Lord. If I were the devil, I'd get you preoccupied on everything else besides your relationship with God and the Lord Jesus Christ. If I were the devil, I would have you to make you think that you're all right, and it's everybody else that needs to get right. How many today would say, you know what? I need to get back to where I once was with God. There's some of us today, if we're honest with God, we used to have fellowship with God. We used to have peace in our heart. We used to have a real motivating drive to see other people come to Jesus. But for some reason or another, we've lost our first love. We've gotten tangled up in the lies and of the web of the enemy. Oh, today, though, you can break free. How many do you want to maximize your influence in your family? Come on, talk to me. How many want to maximize your influence in your family? And not only your family, but what about the community? What about your school? What about the church? I believe everybody here wants to maximize your influence, not minimize, maximize. How can I do that? I'll tell you how we can do that. As we look at the wonderful Word of God today, and we're turning to this wonderful last book in the Bible before we get to the book of Revelation. Do you know what that book is? It's called the Epistle to Jude, or from Jude. Look into the Bible in the book of Jude, and if you'd like to, stand to your feet as we think for a little while this morning, if I were the devil. And here's where we're going. There are two ways we can break free from the enemy. And this is what the Lord put on my heart. I believe God is going to use it for His glory today. And these are the two ways. Number one, first we're going to consider by exposing Satan's strategy. By exposing Satan's strategy. Number two, by exercising the believer's victory. Two ways we can break free from the attacks of the enemy. Two ways we can return to our first love. Two ways that God wants us to maximize our influence in our family, on our job, in our community, and in our school. Wait a minute. We're looking at the book of Jude. If you're in the book of Jude, would you say amen? Here's a half-brother of Jesus. No doubt he was absolutely transformed after the Lord had been raised from the dead, as his other siblings were. Verse 1, Jude, the servant, the word servant is doulos, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Can I just stop right there on verse 1 to simply say this? To tell you, praise the Lord, that God has got a word for us today. And you need to know, in the context of the book of Jude, it parallels with 2 Peter, and named one of the main themes is false teachers. Listen, if I were the devil, I'd have you listen to everybody under the sun. I'd have you reading every book under the sun. And if you're not careful, you're going to stay confused by listening to this and listening to that instead of getting in the Word of God. Listen. Jude's got a word for us today. Verse number 2. Mercy to you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. The word contend, by the way, and the word earnestly contend is a picture of those who are in tip-top shape competing in athletic games. These were not babies. No, they were in discipline form. And so, the Word of God is teaching us here, and we'll come back to it in a moment, about contending for the faith. Look at verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares. That's what I'm talking about, false teachers. Certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. You think the devil, if I was the devil, I'd sure send some people in your life to keep you confused. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Now I want you to pay special attention to verse 6 and 7. We'll not have time to delve into it too deep. However, we do plan to address verse 6 and 7 in the light of some other parallel passages as we get a conclusion and hopefully a proper interpretation / hermeneutics on this verse, the verse 6 and 7. Keep reading now, verse 6 and 7. Pay attention to it. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. Who is he talking about? What does he mean by that? We'll come back to it. They left their own habitation. Verse 6. He hath reserved into everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Notice verse 7. Even as Sodom, even in relation to verse 6, what these angels did, the writer Jude, namely under the Holy Ghost of God, is saying comparison, even as, look at verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in like manner. Hey, I'm going somewhere. I know right now you don't understand where I'm going, but underline that phrase, in like manner. Why? Because there is a connection between verse 7 and verse 6. We'll see it in a little while. In like manner, verse 7, giving themselves over to what? Fornication. Sex outside the marriage, or even in some connotations can be sex within the marriage. fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defy the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Verse 9, yet Michael, the archangel, when contending or debating with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Some suggest that the devil perhaps was calling Moses a murderer, and he was unworthy of an honorable burial, and thus claiming his body for himself. We don't know exactly, but we can speculate. The point is this: if I were the devil, I would come to kill, steal, and destroy. And the enemy's been working on us, but praise God, victory is ours in Jesus. And the church said, "Lord, I bless you, praise you, worship you, love you, because only you love me first. I know I'm not worthy. I know I don't deserve it. And Lord, I know I can't earn it. But oh, God, thank you for your amazing grace and your unconditional love. And Lord, we just today confess we're totally inadequate, insufficient. If anything's given to done, you've got to do it. We're asking you to do it, believe you to do it, to open our eyes, to open our hearts, to change our wills as we hear you speak, as we see your word, as we trust in you with all of our heart. Oh, God, we need your Spirit of the living God. Fall fresh on us. Break up the fallow ground. And Lord, we pray now that you'll expose the enemy and his tactics in our life. And the Lord, give us grace to see the victory is in you and through you. We love you now and praise you for your precious blood. I pray you'll save those that are nearest to eternity. And then, God, change us that are. Lord, I pray you'll help us to reclaim the ground the enemy's taken. And so cleanse us afresh and fill us afresh. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. If I were the devil, you know what I'd do if I were the devil? Here's what I'd do if I was the devil. In the last part of the book of Jude, if I were the devil, you know what I would do? I would, first of all, keep you from praying. That's found in verse 20. If I was the devil, I'd say, well, you can talk about it, and you can read books about it, and you hear sermons about it, and you can just kind of say a little now, lay me down to sleep kind of praying, but just don't get serious about praying. Tell me, are you serious about praying? Tell me. Do we exercise the element of praying without ceasing? Tell me. Do you have a prayer life? Tell me. Do you start off your day in prayer? Tell me. Do you end your day in prayer? Tell me. What is your life like? You show me your prayer life, and I'll show you what God's anointing and power is on your life. If you pray, and if I pray with the right motives, Lord, teach us to pray. If I were the devil, I'd keep you from praying. If I were the devil, you know what else I'll do? I'd keep you from loving each other. I'd want you to fight each other. I want you to fight your husband, your wife. I'd want you to fight with your children. I'd want you to, children would fight with my mom and daddy, don't understand me. And I would want you, as a young person, I'd want you to think that you were strange and odd, and that you had a poor self-image, and that God really didn't have a plan and a purpose for your life. If I were the devil, I would get you not loving each other. That's what Jude says in verse 21. But you know what else I would do? If I were the devil, I would say, well, you don't really need to have compassion, and you don't really need to reach out and snatch people from the abyss, from the lake of fire. How many believe that people die without God are going to hell? How many believe that people today are going to hell without God? How many people believe today in our community there's people that are on the brink of eternity? How many believe that maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a loved one, and if they don't get right with God, the scripture says, not Pastor Randy, the Bible says, Jesus said, they'll die without God. Now, if that doesn't bother you, if that doesn't concern you, if you don't have some kind of movement in your heart for those who are not right with God, knowing they'll be cast out in eternity where there's utter darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth, I'll tell you, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Jude says we're to snatch those out of hell. And then you know what else? If I were the devil, I would keep you falling all the time. You know what I'd do if I was the devil? If I was the devil, I'd throw stumbling blocks in your way all the time. You know what I'd do if I was the devil? I'd have you looking at this Christian and that Christian and saying, look what they do and look how they act and look at here and look at that and look at this person on television and they call themselves a Christian. If I were the devil, I'd have you looking at everybody else, measuring your life by them instead of measuring your life by this living word of God. If I were the devil, oh yeah, I would try to trip you up all the time. Hey, first of all, exposing Satan's strategies. You better believe the enemy is not happy with you listening to this message. You better believe right now the enemy is trying to distract you, trying to put you to sleep, and trying to cause you not to receive the incorruptible, indestructible word of God. I believe that God, hey listen, if you could see, listen to me beloved, if you could see 6 months down the road, your family's going to need you to be right with God. Your family's going to need you to be in a position where you can stand in the gap and make up the hedge. There's people around you that you work with, and there's loved ones that are going to come to you for answers. And if we are not right with God, and if we are not walking in the light, and if we are not spirit-filled Christian, we just become another stumbling block to them. Don't you want to be usable for God's glory, don't you? Don't you want to maximize your potential that God has for you? Oh, listen, if I were the devil, I'd have you paying attention to something else instead of what God's saying to you right now. Yes, I would. I'd have you to compromise sin. I'd have you to excuse sinful behavior and just say, well, it's in the world. Everybody's doing it. Why can't I? Everybody's looking at pornography. Why can't I? Everybody's cussing. Why can't I? Everybody's running around naked. Why can't I? Everybody's acting like a heathen. Why can't I? Our culture is not setting the precedence. I want you to know God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. And God always has what's best for us. Amen. He's not trying to keep you from having fun. He's not wanting to keep you from enjoying life. In fact, he wants us to enjoy life more than we ever have before. I want you to know, listen, when you get right with the Lord and when God has a plan and purpose, there's nothing like his peace. There's nothing like his joy, unspeakable, full of glory. Exposing Satan's strategies. I want you to pay attention just for a moment. There are two ways, two parts to this exposing Satan's strategies. If I were the devil, you know what I'd do? Listen to me. I would send people in your life to defeat you, to cause you to stumble. I would do it. I would do it. I don't care if it was a son. I don't care if it was a daughter. I don't care if it's a husband. I don't care if it's a wife. I don't care if it's a neighbor. I don't care if it's a mama. I don't care if it's a daddy. I don't care if it's a grandmama or a granddaddy. If I were the devil, I'd send people in your life to cause you to go toward destruction. Right now, we got people in our life. You know the enemy has tried to put them in your life. Even good people, your loved ones, the devil can use. Somebody say amen. You don't believe me? That's all right. It's all right. Look at Jude, verse 4. Here's what Jude's saying about these false teachers in verse number 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares who are before of old ordained to this condemnation. The devil sent them in. The devil's raised them up. The devil's behind it. Satan, that dirty liar, that deceiver, that accuser of the brethren, he has sent in these men ordained to condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. If I were the devil right now, you know who it is. I don't have to tell you. I said, you know who it is. I don't have to tell you. There's somebody in your life, at least one or two, you know the enemy is trying to use them to pull you down. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to say amen. I know that the enemy, he is a scheming, devising, a dirty devil. He will put people in your life, loved ones, that he'll try to use to keep you from loving the Lord and serving the Lord. Now listen to me. Let's look up here just a moment. I'm not telling you that you're warring against flesh and blood. I am telling you you're warring against principalities and powers. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. You leave out of the service this morning. Say, you know what? I knew that the devil was trying to use so-and-so and so-and-so. Oh, Oh, but don't you, we walk in the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. The weapons of a warfare are not carnal. Mighty through God, pulling down a stronghold, casting down imagination. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. We're walking in the flesh, but we're not warring after the flesh. The devil, if I were the devil, I would have husbands and wives arguing all the time. If I was the devil, I'd have y'all fighting over finances all the time. Can anybody relate? If I was the devil, I'd have the children saying, Mom and Daddy don't understand me. If I was the devil, I'd have the parents saying, you're rebellious and you just don't appreciate what you have. If I was the devil, I would have husbands and wives criticizing each other and nitpicking each other instead of building each other up, instead of praying for each other. If I were the devil, I would get into that relationship where you just see the negative things of each other instead of the positive things of each other. Oh yeah, you can see, if I was the devil, I'd have us get cynical about America, and I would get us to get to the point where we say, let America go to hell. Look at the state of America. Look at the direction of our nation. The hell with America. That's what, if I were the devil, I'd have every one of us saying, who gives a rip about America? Well, that's not God's word. That's not God's will. God wants us to love Him. God wants to have a heart for Him. The Lord whom He loves, He wants us to love too. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Listen, if I were the devil, I'd have us so consumed with politics that we get our eyes off of the Lord Jesus. If I were the devil, I would have us so engulfed with what's going on at the White House that we weren't even concerned about what's going on in our house. If I were the devil, I'd have our minds filled with Fox News over and over again, without holding the Bible alongside of it. If I were the devil, I'd have us looking at trash, feeding our minds, consumed with lust and lust of the flesh, and keeping us from living a spirit-filled life. If I were the devil, I'd get people in your life to try to drag you down. You know who it is. You say, but Brother Pastor, who are you talking about? Hey, listen. If Peter, who was a great man of God, I believe Peter was a great man of God. Do you believe Peter was a great man of God? And if the devil used Peter, well, when did the devil use Peter? If the devil used Peter, which he did, won't you think the devil won't use you or me or some of our loved ones? Absolutely. When did the devil use Peter? Remember Matthew 16. He had just made that great declaration, yea, affirmation. Who do men say that I am? Said Jesus. Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow, that's a great revelation. Nobody else has said that. You are the Christ. I recognize you're the Son of the living God. No wonder, upon this rock I'll build my church. Not upon Peter, mind you, but upon his confession. Not upon Petros, but upon Petra. Peter, rock. Petros, Peter. Petra, rock. I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But wait a minute. What did Peter do? Right after he said that, Jesus talked about going to the cross, dying. You know what Peter did? Uh-uh, Lord, you're not going to have to do it. You know what Jesus said to him? Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. How many know that when you want to do the Lord's work and when you want to serve God, there's going to be somebody going to pour in water on the fire? I need somebody to help me there. Y'all are quiet today. I'm telling you, when you get on fire for God and when you just get turned on to Jesus and you realize your sins have been forgiven, washed away as far as the east is from the west, remembered no more. Now you're justified. Now you're righteous before a thrice holy God, and you realize that God is in control. He's a mighty God, able to do anything but fail. And when you start realizing that, and God begins to reveal Himself to you, there's going to be some people in your life come alongside and pour the water. Oh, you're just getting religious. You're just getting to be a fanatical. You just need to calm down a little bit. You don't have to go and stay up in that night and pray. What are you talking about? Cooking something, taking it to somebody's house? Why, don't you have time just to sleep and rest around? No, I don't want to retire from God's work. I want to refire from God's work. If I were the devil, I'd send people in your life. And I would see to it that you wouldn't see what the devil was up to. Right now, you know who it is. You know who the enemy is trying to use in your life, and he is using them, and today you can break free from the influences of the enemy. Oh, God's helping somebody right now. The Lord is helping somebody right now. I know he is. But secondly, not only would I, if I was the devil, send somebody in your life. Secondly, if I was the devil, I would cause the devil's principalities and powers, the evil angels, to lead you into not only destruction, but into corruption. I want you to see verse 6 and 7 of the text. You ready? Look at it. Verse 6 and 7. Look what Jude said. I want you to see it. It's in your Bible. And the angels which kept not their first estate. Archon is the word, the original word. Kept not their first estate. What's he talking about? But left their own habitation. What does he mean? The word left their own habitation, idun, oi kitoron, which means, according to many Bible conservative scholars, Greek scholars, they left heaven. They left their home, if you will. Why? Look at this verse. Verse 6 is, boy, it's great. The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And then, tying in verse 7, notice how the Holy Ghost of God leads Jude as that first word of verse 7. Even so. That's tying in with verse 6. You've got to see that, beloved. And further, he ties in it further in verse 7. Even so, Sodom and Gomorrah. And the cities about them, what? In like manner. In what like manner? Could it be that Jude is saying in like manner what the angels did? I believe, perhaps. In like manner, going themselves over foreigner to fornication, and going after strange flesh, or set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now I'm fixing to go somewhere, and you better buckle up your seatbelt. You're not going to catch it. You're not going to get it. I don't have time to elaborate on it a lot, but I've got a few minutes to elaborate on it. Never talked about it before. And we'll be able to perhaps go deeper and in more detail at some other time. My time is limited, as you know. What I want you to do is hold your place in the book of Jude and verse 6 and 7. And I want you to turn back to the book of Genesis, chapter 6. Chapter 6. Here's where we're going to delve for a moment. Many, many, many conservative Bible scholars, and I perhaps the Lord teaches us stuff. We hadn't learned it all. I've not had such clarification in the last 32 years as a Christian and sharing the Word of God. I'm still learning as well. In the book of Genesis chapter 6, look at this. You're very familiar with this. This is in the days of Noah. This is after Adam and Eve, after Cain and Abel, after the events that took place. Genesis chapter 6, if you're there, say amen. Moses says, through the Holy Ghost, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, let's say that together, sons of God, say it again, one more time, all right, hold that in your mind, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, let's say that together, the daughters of men, one more time, the daughters of men, say it again. Good. So we got the sons of God, we got the daughters of men. You see it? Don't miss it. As I said, I won't have time to go in great detail, but I want you to pay attention to those phrases. Keep reading. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. The sons of God took the daughters of men as wives. Y'all see that? Everybody see that? All right, verse number 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not only strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Verse 4. There were giants, Nephilim, in the earth in those days. And after that, when the, here it is, sons of God, we read that in verse 2. You see that in verse 2? The sons of God came in unto the daughters of men. So we have the sons of God and daughters of men, not only in verse 2, but we got it in verse 4. See it? And they bear children. Really? The sons of God and daughters of men. Who are these? What is he talking about? Keep reading. And they bear children
to them, and the same became mighty men, men of old, men of renown. Now, again, I want to throw out a couple of thoughts, and then we'll have to move on back to the book of Jude. If you believe Jude verse 6 and 7, and turn back there, the angels that kept not their first estate, but they went to another habitation, even as Sodom and Gomorrah that committed fornication. There are three major views to this particular interpretation of Genesis chapter 6. Are you ready for them? Here they are. Number one, men of rank with lower caste class women. Men of rank married lower class women and had children. That's view number one. View number two is the Sethites and the Canaanites, the descendants of Seth and the descendants of Cain. The Sethites, being the sons of God, are the men marrying the Canaanites, daughters of men. There's a third view, and it's called the angel women view. And furthermore, this week I have been skipped down to verse, you're right there. Very good. And then skip down to verse 7. Look how he says, even so, even as Sodom, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. If you go back to the book of Genesis, these three views, I personally believe, this is my personal opinion as your pastor, you don't have to believe it, that's fine. Do your own research, do your own studying. I don't claim to know it all, but I have begun to discover things this week even in regards to this particular passage of Scripture and the hermeneutical interpretation of it. The reason the men of rank with the women view is not necessarily the best view according to Bible scholars. And even the Sethite view and the Canaanite view is not necessarily the best view. Some believe that. But here's why they don't. The word men, sons of God and daughters of men. The word men is used as a generic term. It can mean not only just one particular man, as the Canaanites or the Sethites or these lower class women with these nobles or kings or dignitaries. And therefore, the generic use of the word men does not seem to fit into the view of this sons of God, daughters of men, explaining how this can tie in with the book of Jude, verse 6 and 7. Furthermore, the view, Sethite view, and now you're going to have to get the tape to listen to this because I know this a lot and I'm just trying to break it down as best I can, as feeble as it is. The Sethite view and the Canaanite view, do you know when that view really began to originate? It was the 4th century. I say it again, the 4th century AD is when this view really began to emerge. Why? And I'm saying this not in criticism, but the Catholic Church has made very prominent in their encyclopedia this view, the Canaanite view and the Sethite view. Why? Because they have a hard time with believing, wait a minute, that angels can have sex with women. Do you hear me? I started to label my message today, how can angels have sex with women, intercourse with women? Do you know that's what we're talking about here? That's what we're talking about. But I know what you're saying. You're saying, Brother Pastor, the third view, which seems to be the best view, and I've not come to this conclusion until recently, after really checking it out, really doing the research in my own heart, and I'm not dogmatic about it, obviously, but we're using Jude, verse 6 and 7. The angelic women view seems to be the better view, and here's why. The word sons of God, you see the text, verse 2, verse 4, sons of God. Bene Elohim, sons of God, Hebrew words, Bene Elohim. The only time sons of God are used outside the book of Genesis, chapter 6 and verse 2 and verse 4, is found in the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 6, Job, chapter 2, verse 1, and Job, chapter 38, verse 7. Sons of God, Bene Elohim. Same phrase. Well, how's it used in Job chapter 1, verse 6? How's it used in Job chapter 2, verse 1? How's it used in Job chapter 38 and verse 7? It's used as angels. Sons of God, angels. It's crystal clear. Look it up if you don't believe me. Oh, really? Yep. That's one of the legitimate reasons why leaning toward this angelic women view. But I hear what you're saying, and I'll come to it. Hold on. Another reason why is this, because early Christian teachers adhered, yea, they taught the angelic women view. And who are you talking about? Irenaeus, Alexander, Clement of Alexander, Justin, not Justin Owens, by the way, but Justin, he probably taught it too, amen. But anyway, church fathers, so Josephus taught this. And this was a understanding. Again, I can't go into all the detail, but here is the problem with the angel view, the women view, the only problem that's brought up, really the main problem. Those say, but wait a minute, Pastor, you mean angels can have sex with women? You mean angels can have intercourse with women and have children? I just don't see that. And I hear what you're saying. You say, but didn't Jesus say in Mark 12:25 that in heaven that we'll be like the angels who do not marry or do not procreate? Have you read that? Somebody say amen. Oh, you're exactly right. But wait a minute. Jesus said in heaven they don't marry and procreate, but he didn't say anything about being here on earth. Let me say it again. He didn't say anything about angels being on earth. You say, but wait a minute, Brother Pastor, when do angels come to earth? I'm glad you ask it. If you look in the book of, not now, but later, Genesis 18 and 19. Genesis chapter 18 and 19, you'll find out three angels showed up at Abraham and Sarah's place. Three angels. It's clear. The scripture tells us, angels. You know what those angels did? Are you ready for this? Those angels ate food. Those angels, they washed their feet. Now, I can't imagine just an esophagus walking around with feet to it, with no body to it, all right? They washed their feet, they gave them food, and guess what else? When they ended up over in Sodom at Lot's house, the Sodomites wanted to have sex with the angels. Can you hear me? Check it out. Check it out. And so you can see that the other issue about this interpretation about the women angelic view is if it's other views, which we won't really fully know perhaps until we get to glory. But if you teach the Word of God and preach the Word of God, and if you got friends and neighbors and loved ones that ask you about this, I think this is good to know, don't you? Yeah, yeah, you need to know what the Scripture says, and you need to know to be able to rightly divide the Word of truth. Well, the other thought is this. Well, if you read 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, Peter wrote and said, "For God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell." The word Tartarus is the word hell, meaning they're confined to a certain place at this moment. Well, the question is this. When did the angels fall? When did they do this immoral act? And you know why? And I've got to move on. To me, the convincer of this whole discussion is this. Think about it for a moment. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God gave, you know, light and all the creation. Day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six. And in the beginning, Lucifer was that cherub, that most beautiful of all. And he evidently, God gave him access to the very throne room of the third heaven. You can read it in Ezekiel chapter 28, also in Isaiah 14. And God seemingly gave him dominion day one, day two, day three, day four, day five. But when man was created, you find out a phrase that God said to man, you have dominion, you have authority over the animals. And don't you know? And this is speculation. It's not written out clear in the scripture, but in my personal mind, I have a tendency to believe it must be true. Don't you know the devil wanted authority? Don't you know that the devil went from the third heaven to the first heaven? How do I know that? Ephesians 2:2 says he's the prince of the power of the air. And Jesus said, "I saw late Satan fall like lightning from heaven." But don't you know when man began to get authority and dominion over God's creation, the enemy, the devil, wanted to get him back however he could. So, from Genesis 1, you can see, Chapter 1, verse 31, God saw everything that it was good. But in chapter 3, you're very well aware of the fact it would be very convincing that Satan, Lucifer, the fallen angel, who had fallen at this time, wanted to gain back the authority, gain back dominion. And thus, he would deceive man, deceive Eve, tell them the fruit is good to eat, and they'd be like God. And the next thing, when sin came into the world, man had given over that dominion and authority back to the prince of the power of the air. You check it out. You look at the book of Genesis and you find out from Genesis to Revelation, it's God's plan in the end time to come and to establish his kingdom in chapter 20 of Revelation. And thus he will have dominion. Satan will be cast in the lake of fire. There's a progression from Genesis chapter 1 all the way up to Revelation 22 of the devil's demise. If I were the devil, I would want you to think, what in the world is Pastor talking about now? But I've got to move quickly to the number two ways, and I'll be done. And I want you to go back to the book of Jude. I'll be glad to talk with you further about this. And again, I'm sorry I can't go into greater detail, but I've given you food for thought and given you some things to think about and to read and to get in the Word. Study to show thyself approved unto God in the book of Jude. And number two, not only would we, by exposing Satan's strategy, but number two, by exercising the believer's victory. And here's where we're going. Number one, if I were the devil, you know what I would do? If I were the devil, I'd start working on your faith. I'd start diminishing your faith. I'd start sending storms in your life, troubles in your life, problems in your life, things you can't control. I'd have you where you just were having problems physically, problems spiritually, problems materially, problems. If I were the devil, I'd work on your faith. Where you wouldn't believe God. Where you'd say, I don't know about this God. If he really loves me, why am I suffering? Why am I going through this? If God really loved me, why am I having to face all this hardship? If I were the devil, I'd start working on you overtime that you wouldn't believe God. And in the Jude verse 4, he says, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered of the saints. That is a picture of striving. That's a picture of a competition. That's a picture of straining and being athleticism. That is not for little babies. No, earnestly contend for the faith. How many know we're in a battle? How many know we're in a battle? How many know we're in a battle? And if the enemy can get you to start questioning God, and the enemy get you to start and saying, I don't know if I can trust this God. He hadn't done this and done that. I'd work on your faith. Is he doing that? Number two, not only would I work on your faith, but I would, beloved, besides that, I would begin to do something that that's very obvious here in the book of Jude. And for time's sake, I'm going to have to close. I would get it to the point. If I were the devil, I'd give you a bad attitude. You see that in verse 16? Verse 16 says they're murmurers. Verse 16 says these are murmurers and complainers walking around after their own great lust. And if I was the devil, I'd get you complaining instead of praising God. How many know we got more to praise God about? We got more to shout about than we do to pat about. Come on, talk to me. But see, if I was the devil, I'd just get you to, I'd get that song in your mouth. Don't praise God. Shh. Don't praise God. Don't. No, please. Just start complaining. Is there anybody here that you've had this complaining spirit for a while? If I was the devil, I'd have you complaining all the time instead of being thankful. Last but not least, if I was the devil, I would keep you from having armor bearers, people raised up around. How many know that we need people around us? If I was the devil, I wouldn't want you to have friends that would be praying with you and for you. Have you got somebody to pray with you today? Do you know somebody that will come alongside you today? Every one of us needs somebody to come and help fight these battles that we're facing. If I was the devil, I'd say, no, you don't need anybody else. You can handle it alone. I wonder if you stand to your feet today as we think about what God is saying to us.